Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Rossyl Technologies Q3 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish from Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining the 3Q FY26 earnings conference call of Rossyl Technologies Limited. We have with us from the management team today, Mr. Rishab Gupta, Managing Director, Mr. Senthil Balasubramanian, CEO, Ms. Veena Philip, COO, Mr. Jayant V, the CFO. I now hand over the call to Mr. Rishab for his opening remarks, post which we will take the questions from the participants. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rishab.
Thank you, Manish. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Rishab Mohan Gupta, Managing Director of Rossyl Technologies Limited. I'm joined today by our CEO, Mr. Senthil Bala, our CEO, Ms. Veena Philip, and our CFO, Mr. Jayant Viswanath. On behalf of the entire leadership team, I extend a warm welcome to all our investors, analysts, and stakeholders joining us today. This has been yet another record-breaking quarter for Rossyl Technologies, reflecting the accelerating trajectory of our business across sectors, customers, and geographies. As a newly de-merged and independently listed entity, we have continued to build strong, sustained momentum quarter after quarter, demonstrating the strength of our strategy and the discipline of our execution. In the third quarter of the financial year 2026, it marked a significant milestone in our growth journey. We delivered revenue of around 130 crores, reflecting a 72% year-on-year increase, and achieved the highest quarterly and monthly revenues in our history. Our monthly run rate to annual run rate metrics continue to set new internal benchmarks, providing strong forward visibility into the year 2027. Profit before tax stood at 8.23 crores, underscoring the scalability and resilience of our operating model. For the nine-month period, performance has been equally robust. Revenue grew by 98% year-on-year, rising from 173 crores to 343 crores. Our PBT also increased to 19 crores, compared to 1.2 crores the last year, despite a rise in our financial costs and growth in working capital utilization. This demonstrates the strength of our operational performance and disciplined financial management. Operationally, the third quarter has been among our strongest quarters to date. Our entry into the semiconductor equipment manufacturing segment is scaling rapidly, generating over 10 crores in revenue in the very first quarter after qualifications. Our space technology programs have advanced into volume-ready status, with the first large production batch expected to be delivered before the end of the financial year. Our defense aerospace programs continue to perform strongly, with consistent on-time delivery. A significant new order from one of our valued existing customers has recently been secured, providing a strong boost to our order book. Both our defense and non-defense programs continue to benefit from duty-free entry into the U.S., enhancing customer competitiveness. Our diversification strategy continues to pay off meaningfully. During the quarter, we submitted bids of around 700 crores in the aerospace, semiconductor, and space technology sectors. These opportunities reflect our growing capabilities in next-generation engineering and high-reliability manufacturing. We also received firm orders for over 200 crores in the third quarter and expect outcomes on several pending bids in the coming quarters. Our investments in automatic and semi-automatic machinery are already driving measurable efficiency gains. Our inventory closed at 289.22 crores, strategically aligned with our FY26-27 growth roadmap. Our financial position remains strong and well-supported. We enhanced our working capital limits, backed by increased commitments from our banking partners. To enable our next phase of expansion, we are planning a qualified institutional placement, a QIP, This capital raise will strengthen our balance sheet, support capacity creation, accelerate execution of large programs, and broaden our institutional investor base as we scale across multiple high-growth sectors. Our people remain the core of our growth engine. As on December 31st, 2025, our total workforce stands at 1,177 people, including 904 employees, contract staff, and consultants, supported by 273 trainees and apprentices. We continued our structured approach of transitioning long-tenured contract staff to unrolled positions, strengthening retention, stability, and capability maturity across the organization. We also continue to reinforce a strong foundation of quality and compliance. We successfully completed the AS9110 Stage 2 audit. Our AS9100 certification remains valid for the next 3 years with annual surveillance audits. We are progressing steadily towards CMMC 2.0 compliance, which is critical for long-term participation in the U.S. defense programs and global supply chains. We are witnessing strong and sustained order inflow across the semiconductor, space, and defense programs. Further to our earlier announcement on capacity expansion, within our current premises, which is expected to take some time to be fully operational, we are now assessing the option of leasing an additional facility of about 210,000 square feet to address the sharp uptick in our demands. These expansions will significantly strengthen our ability to deliver high-volume programs and deepen our presence in the Middle East and European markets. We are planning to take this building on lease on the 1st of April, 2026. Our third quarter has been another remarkable quarter for Rosell Texas, with diversified sectoral traction, strong order visibility, disciplined financial management, and timely capacity expansion. We are entering a truly transformative stage of our journey. To put our journey in perspective, from the inception in 2011 until the year 2425, nearly 14 years, we delivered around 1,300 crores in cumulative revenue. Today, we are delivering that same scale within just two financial years, the current year and the next. Importantly, this extraordinary growth has been achieved without any external equity infusion, powered entirely by operational excellence and the steadfast support of our banking partners, to whom we express our sincere gratitude. With our first ever equity fundraise through a QRP now underway, we are strategically positioned to elevate Rosell Texas to the next level of scale, capability, and global competitiveness. Thank you all for your trust, confidence, and continued support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Hemant from Anandan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Hemant from Anandan Capital. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. So if I understand correctly, you suggested that with the current run rate, right, can we expect this FY26 numbers to be 500 crores? And we are expecting FY27 to be 800 crores revenue?
I can say that our fourth quarter is going to be better than our third quarter, and we're looking at similar kind of growth that we had this year, next year as well.
Okay. That's good to hear, sir. Another question is, could you, help me understand what exactly are we doing in semiconductor and the space program?
Yeah, sure. So we are building, again, wire harnesses for the machines that build the semiconductors. So that's what we're doing with our customer for semiconductors, and for space we're doing wire harnesses again for different programs like satellites and stuff like that.
So what kind of market opportunity are we looking at in these two sectors?
Huge. The market opportunity is massive. I'm sure you're seeing what's happening in the semiconductor space. The growth in semiconductors over the last 5 years has been enormous, and it's going to continue growing significantly moving forward. So we haven't even scratched the surface yet with the semiconductor space, and we feel that our growth, a significant portion of our growth moving forward and this year is going to be due to our semiconductor business.
Okay, and we're looking at raising some funds, right? What is the, the amount of funds are we looking to raise, and what exactly we plan to do with those funds?
We are looking at raising up to a maximum of 300 crores, and it's primarily to fuel our future growth for expansion in our facilities, for infrastructure, plant, tooling, machinery, training, and so on and so forth.
So recently we had some expansion, right, in the current Bangalore facility, if I remember correctly.
We had only 20,000 square feet of expansion space available, which is going to be ready in the next few weeks. But apart from that, we're planning to take a building on lease from the 1st of April of the year 26-27 of around 210,000 square feet to fuel our growth and our expansion plans.
And the last question, sir, what profit margin are we looking at, sustainable profit margin over, let's say, next 3 to 5 years?
It's going to keep improving because of scale as well, and we were doing a lot of FAIs this year, which are first article inspections. So once you get lean on those programs after they're qualified, when they go into production, the margins do get better and increase. But in this industry, we're looking at anywhere between 17 to 22% moving forward.
Okay, yeah, that's all from my end, sir. Thank you, and all the best for your future.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of N. Das from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Rishabh. Congratulations on a wonderful Q3. Just wanted to check, as per the recent India-US trade deal, how does it benefit Russell? What do you perceive of this trade deal?
See, I mean, the trade deal is one thing, but just generally for aerospace and defense, I think there's a lot of potential. If you've even seen, I think the U.S. has increased their defense budget from $900 billion to $1.5 trillion. A lot of European countries are, spending a lot more on aerospace and defense to secure their borders. So as an industry, I would say aerospace and defense has tremendous potential moving forward, and Rosel is very well positioned to, grab a lot of that business moving forward. So, yes, the trade deal definitely does help as well. And one thing which is certain that there are not going to be any tariffs as well moving forward because we've got exempt for all of those. So for the sector we're in, it's all very, very positive. And that's why, as an organization, we're taking all the right steps to ensure that we can meet this incoming demand that we foresee from all our different customers.
Good to go. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Raj Vyas from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. A couple of questions. One is, we have mentioned that we have submitted bids of approximately 700 crore, right, during the quarter. And we have also received additional orders exceeding 200 crore. So this excess of rupees 200 is out of the 700 or this is separate? And if it is so, then of the 700 crore, how much has been translated into actual orders? And what is the typical timeline for completion?
So we submitted bids for 700 crores in this quarter. The 200 crores POs we received are separate to what is outstanding and decisions to be taken yet. Normally, once you submit a bid, it depends on again, the customer and the platform and the urgency. But decisions can take anywhere from, I would say, 1 month to 12 months for the RFPs that we submitted.
Okay, understood. As we are focusing on diversification and with current revenue, which is majority coming from the aerospace vertical, what kind of percentage of revenue breakup we are looking at going ahead? For example, XYZ percentage from aerospace coming or from semiconductor, if you can give this kind of breakup and by what period we are looking at it to achieve at those levels?
Sure. We're seeing growth in all our different domains, whether it's aerospace, space, semiconductors, but the significant growth is going to be coming from space and our semiconductor business. Moving forward, we're going to be approximately 50% aerospace and defense and 50% non-aerospace and defense. So that's how our revenue split is going to be moving forward, 50-50, approximately in that range.
Okay. And what is the current current end rate of the revenue breakup, if you can provide that as well?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Breakup of revenue, if you can provide that as
sorry,
well.
Could you...
Current breakup of
the revenue right now?
Yeah.
Current breakup of revenue. I'm just trying to do quick math in my head. I would say it's going to be approximately, this year would be approximately 70-30. I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, Zina Sansal, but on the top of my head, I think it's going to be 70% aerospace and defense and 30% non-aerospace and defense, which will go to 50-50 next year.
Yeah, that is correct, Rishabh. 70-30 going to 50-50. That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And any sort of challenges that we are coming with respect to the semiconductor business, because there's a lot of competition and a lot of businesses also focusing on now into semiconductor businesses. And this is one. And when we say we have volume ready status for first production batch for space programs as well. So by what time it will be executed and what kind of productions or the products that we are making it, if you can explain that as well, it would be very helpful.
Yeah, so for the space programs, a lot of our deliveries, which will generate significant amount of revenue, has already started and will continue this year and moving forward. They're basically for different space programs for satellites that we are helping different customers with. Sorry, I missed your question. Can you repeat it? So you were asking me where we are heading, or what was the exact question, please?
So first was the volume ready status for space programs. So what kind of productions that we are looking at, and the completion of the timeline that you have mentioned. And second is any sort of challenges that we are facing in a semiconductor business, because there's a lot of competition and a lot of businesses focusing on that space currently.
See, I think that's where Rossel stands out. Rossel has built a reputation of being an excellent manufacturer of different components like wire harnesses, panels, and automated test equipment. We have the expertise and we're very good at what we do. And that's why we stand out from the competition. And that's why we're winning most of the bids we submit, because we have that experience, the knowledge and the processes we follow to build a particular cable is much better than the rest of the world. And that's why today Rossel has over 27 customers. And that's why customers are dealing with us today, because of the reputation Rossel has and the quality of product that comes out of Rossel at the right price. You know, so there is competition, but I would say Rossel is very well positioned and is building products at much better prices than the rest of the world.
Okay.
And when it comes to... yeah, please.
Yeah. So wanted to ask this. We have this the India-European Union deal, right? And we've also mentioned in the in our this latest annual report that Europe remains a relatively untapped region, and we will be focusing on aggressive sales effort into the long to bring the long term relationship. So any update on that, and how we are looking at it?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of efforts have been put in over the last 12 months in Europe, and I'm happy to say that we'll be releasing some very positive announcements soon of some tie-ups and some partnerships that we are planning in Europe. So that information will be available very shortly. And we've also got some really good RFPs from some European customers, which we are bidding for now, which will hopefully get us an entry into the European market as well. So that is looking very positive in the near term.
Really happy to know about that. And last question.
Sorry to interrupt, Raj. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue again for more questions.
Okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ayush Agarwal from Maple Value Investing Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rishabh. Good morning and congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
My first question is that, you know, you mentioned two things in your comments. One is that aerospace and defense share will reduce probably starting next year itself. And the second thing which you mentioned is that our margins will also increase. So I'm just trying to understand if I'm reading this correctly, that, you know, the non-aerospace business would have higher margins than the aerospace business. Is that a correct understanding?
I mean, I wouldn't say straight up that it has higher margins for what we do in wire harnesses. We can look at anywhere from 17 to 22% of margins moving forward. You did mention that, you know, our aerospace and defense is not growing. That's not true. Our aerospace and defense business is growing also quite significant. Aerospace and defense business is growing quite significantly, but the growth that we are foreseeing in our semiconductors and space domains are going to be much, much higher than the aerospace and defense. That's why our ratio from 70-30 is moving to 50-50. But the aerospace and defense business is growing significantly as well.
Absolutely.
Our scale is going to be much larger going forward. We're looking at much larger numbers moving forward. So that's why when we're looking at the scale that we're looking at moving forward, that's why the difference is coming from that perspective.
Understood. So just, you know, if you can help us understand better that currently we have been doing in the range of 12, 13, 14% margin, whereas one of quarters we have seen, you know, 17% margins as well. What will lead to this bridge in margins from, you know, 13, 14 to above 17 and 18? What will actually lead to that? What are the levers that... Yeah,
so when things go into production, so what we're doing right now, since we've got lots of new orders and lots of new customers, we go through a process called an FAI, which is a first article inspection. That means everything needs to be qualified before it can go into production. So we've been doing a lot of FAIs this year, a lot of qualifications this year, and when you're doing that, obviously your profit margin reduces significantly until it reaches production level. So once all these programs get into production, you'll see a significant uptake in our profit margin. And second, operational efficiencies. We're bringing in a lot of efficiencies in the company to increase our margins too, tighter controls on inventory and cash moving forward. And most importantly, a scale. The way we're scaling, we're showing a 98% growth compared to last year. This momentum is going to keep continuing. And with the growth that we're envisaging over the next 8 to 12 quarters, that's how our margin will significantly increase moving forward. So 17 to 22% is the range we're looking at in the short and medium term.
Understood. My final question, you know, if you can help us understand in the wire harness business itself, between a semiconductor business, and of course there would be multiple SKUs that we do in semiconductor also, but if you have to compare the semiconductor and the space business in wire harness versus whatever we do in defense in multiple platforms, the complexity and, you know, the challenges, if you can help us understand that, because that will really, you know, give some qualitative aspect on the semiconductor business.
Yeah, I'm not very technical, but on the face of it, I can leave Zeno or something to answer that question, but on the face of it, just one big distinction between aerospace and defense and our other domains is that aerospace and defense is low volume, high mix. The other businesses that we are in are high volume, low mix. You know, so the numbers are much larger when it comes to the semiconductor and the space technology side compared to the aerospace and defense sector. So the numbers are much, much larger. From the technical standpoint, I'll leave it to Zina or Santil to answer that question.
Yeah, I can probably answer that, and Zina.
Santil or Zina? Yeah, go ahead, Zina.
Yeah, so I'm Zina here. From a complexity perspective, there are complex harnesses with both customers in the space sector as well as in semiconductor sectors. As Rishabh said, it is to do with the volume and the offtake. So the volumes are probably closer to, you know, medium volume and high mix in both programs, both in both industry sectors. So from a complexity perspective, the process what we follow could be slightly different for space industry as well and semiconductor industry, but the complexities are unique. I would say the complexities are unique, but at the same time, there could be simple harnesses in both industries. So you can't compare between it, but I would rather say that it's a medium volume and the complexities vary, but there are complexities in both industry sectors.
Understood. Yeah. Thanks for answering my question.
Correct. I'll just add one quick comment to what Zina just mentioned. You know, Rossel has been very well successful in making, designing, and manufacturing extremely complex wire harnesses for all of the defense industry. So it makes it very, very attractive for space and other industries because we are qualified at the highest level and our quality ratings are all green. So that puts Rossel in an extremely advantageous position for space programs or other programs.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Priyansh Midi from NGP Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. Great set of numbers, sir, and the team. My question is just on top of the last question that was asked on the wire harness part of it. So as a company, as we grow, as we become tier 1 or tier 2 supplier for prominent OEMs, right? I want to understand this the IP that resides with this harness design is with held with whom? Like, are we supporting the OEMs from their design stage? And what sort of lock-in that will have with our product? Like, can any other company create the similar design of harness, or is it like exclusive to us, sir?
So most of what we were doing initially was a lot of build-to-print work. That means we used to get the drawings from our customers and we just used to follow the instructions. So the IP belongs to all our customers that we deal with. We have done some R&D work and engineering work for all our different customers as well, which comes under build-to-spec. So when we're doing build-to-spec work, that's when IP discussions happen and intellectual property is discussed. Sometimes it's shared, sometimes it's owned by Rossel, sometimes it's owned by the customer itself. So it completely depends. But Rossel as an organization can do both build-to-spec and build-to-print work for our different customers.
Okay. Sir, just a follow-up question. So the IPs that we retain with the Rossel, so can we monetize it further with, say, local Indian companies once we learn those art and craft from foreign clients? Is that a fair understanding?
See, first, what we're doing on the R&D side, we're developing a few things where the IP will belong to Rossel, and those things can be shared with the Indian market and the global market at much cheaper prices. But when it particularly comes to IP, Rossel hasn't done much work where the IP belongs to Rossel as on today. Yes, Rossel is doing a lot of build-to-spec work with our different customers. Depends on the program. Sometimes the IP is shared. Sometimes it belongs to our customer as well. So it completely depends on what the product is and what the opportunity is that we're looking for.
Okay. Last question, sir. The lab we have, right, Tinkering Lab, where we do the innovation, like, is there any innovative sector? Like, I'm not asking directly on the product part of it, but any other interesting sector or any other product that we are experimenting with?
On the R&D side, yes. We spend quite a bit of money on our R&D year on year, and we are developing some products which can be sold in the global market at much cheaper prices. products that help our existing competencies, our existing business, instead of buying those products from different customers around the world. The idea is to develop it in-house and qualify it so we can use it for not only our program needs, but something that the world can use as well. So yes, definitely we do focus on R&D, and we do have a list of products we're developing in-house as we speak.
Thank you for answering the question, sir. I wish you a very well future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I'm fairly new to this company. I just want to understand how much of percent of our revenue is from USA, Europe, and India.
Again, I'll have to do a quick math in my head. I mean, Zina, Santil, if you have that answer, please give it. But just doing a math in my head, let me get back to you with the answer. It's a difficult thing that needs to be done. I don't have the ready-made answer. How much percentage is US and non-US in our business revenue percentage?
Currently, we are running at around 83% US and non-US. We
yeah,
will be improvising
it
much
would
more.
Be US and 20% non-US. If you want.
Yes, you're right.
It'll be around that range, 80-20. So we can take 80-20 for now, but that'll obviously change once we get
more European customers, yeah.
Understood, sir. So my follow-up on this is 80% of the revenue is from USA, and despite having 50% duty, you were able to grow. Given that the duty has now reduced to 18%, can we expect the US revenue to grow faster?
So, Rosel was never impacted by the duties and the tariffs. Rosel has always been getting exemptions, so that really has not impacted us at all. And yes, our revenue definitely is increasing with our American customers significantly, and that's why we're able to show the scale and the growth that we have this year as well. We've shown a growth of 98%, and like I'm saying, this growth should continue at least for the next 8 to 10 quarters. So this is the momentum we're looking at moving forward, and the growth is from all our different customers, not specific to the US or Europe. It's just generally all around, because there's a lot more spend happening on defense globally. And Rosel has a very good reputation in the market, and orders just keep coming our way now. So we need to be planned, ready from an execution standpoint, not from an order standpoint.
Understood, sir. And so my second question is, currently we have two facilities. One is in Bangalore, which is 2.4 lakh square feet, and another one is 4,000 square feet in USA. You're planning to add another 2.1 lakh square feet in Bangalore or in USA?
In Bangalore. So next to our existing facility, we're taking a building on lease starting 1st of April of another 200,000 square feet to meet the demand and the growth that we foresee.
And currently from the Bangalore unit 1, how much capacity utilization is this unit running at?
So right now we're working, I would say, 1.5 shifts. Depends on the customer and the program and the need of the business. So we do approximately 1.5 shifts. We can definitely increase that to 2 or 3. But with the growing demand we foresee and the business coming our way, even working in 2 shifts, the space is not going to be enough, because we're getting new customers and new businesses. And Rosel's culture and vision has always been to have center of excellences for all our different customers, where we have dedicated people, plant, tools, machinery, and so on and so forth. So it's difficult. If it's the same customers and we get more, double the amount of business, we can execute it from our existing facility. But we're getting new customers as well, and the mindset is to have center of excellences. And we're already short of space today, and that's why it's prudent that Rosel has enough space to be able to meet the revenue month on month moving forward. So it's proven that Rosel has this additional space by the 1st of April.
So my understanding is...
In between, Raman, I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue again for more questions. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Hriday Choksi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the numbers. Quick question.
Thank you.
Can you just help me tie in? So you mentioned we're going to have a difference in the split of the business going forward from aerospace and defense to space semiconductor. Can you just outline, so the benefit of the group, a future path as to next year, the year after next, and, you know, three-year vision, what is our guidance going to look like in terms of our revenue numbers? And can you also tie this in somewhere with our existing order book and strategic agreements and with the future guidance on the margins as well?
Yeah, see, I can't give you specifics, but because I'm not allowed to give forward outlooks being a publicly listed company, but I did kind of hint at, you know, what kind of revenue we're targeting for next financial year. If you can see, our revenue growth is 98% this year, and the message I can give you is that that's the momentum that's going to be moving forward, and that's the kind of scale we're looking at over the next 24 to 30 months. An increase year on year, a significant increase in our revenue year on year. If you look at it from an order book standpoint today, Jaren, please correct me if I'm wrong with my numbers, but today our confirmed POs on hand would be over 750 crores and our strategic agreements would be over 2,500 crores. So that's where we stand as from an order book perspective.
Yes, for sure.
And so when are we, so this 2,500, when do we expect, over what time frame do we expect to execute this, and along with this, and what is the additional pipeline of orders?
So you can take, for these 2,500 crores, you can take 3 to 5 years. The 700 crores confirmed PO, 750 crores confirmed POs, you can take over the next two years. And like I said earlier, we submitted bids for 700 crores this quarter. Decisions take 6 to 12 months. Rossel received confirmed POs of 200 crores this quarter as well. So that's something that's ongoing. We're submitting significant amount of bids on a weekly basis, and the outcomes of that will be known 6 to 12 months after bids are submitted. So that's how the bidding process works in our industry.
Noted. So last two quick questions. So
sorry to interrupt, Hriday. I would request you to rejoin the queue again for more questions. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Karan Sanbul from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Do we have any domestic revenue in this quarter, or was it entirely export? And any large domestic opportunities are we expecting to come our way in maybe medium, short to medium term?
So we're doing a lot of marketing efforts now to increase our work share with the different Indian customers, whether it's the public sector undertakings or the private companies like the Tatas, the L&Ts and Mahindras. A lot of efforts are being made, and we have identified a few programs and targeted a few programs to work on in partnership or as Rossel itself. So that's something that Rossel is focusing on a lot, and very confident that we should have some good traction with our Indian customers in the short term as well. When it comes to, from a revenue perspective, 99% of our revenue is all export. So that's, our company is an export-oriented unit, and we've always focused on exports. We've just started focusing on the domestic market, and very confident that we'll be a significant player moving forward in the Indian defense market as well.
Understood. And so you talked about we developing capabilities for build-to spaces. So what would be a rough approximate split currently, and how do we expect this to move maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, B2P to and B2S?
So right now, I would say it's 90-10. If I'm not mistaken, please correct me again, Zina Sansal, I would say it's 90% build-to-print, 10% would be build-to-spec. Moving forward, yes, the idea is definitely now Rossel is growing significantly. We're entrenching ourselves a lot more with all the different foreign OEMs that we deal with today. We want to entrench ourselves at the lower levels where the decisions are taken, where Rossel can also make investments for multiple programs. So our relationship with the customers are deepening significantly, and it's opening up a lot of opportunities for a lot of other build-to-spec work that we foresee coming our way, and Rossel is very well positioned to do a lot more on the build-to-spec side moving forward as well, whether it's, you know, from developing a product or tying up with our different customers to give them a product that they're looking for. So that's something that we're focusing on as well. It's going to be very difficult for me to put a number or a percentage to it, but it all depends on the need of our customers and what they're exactly looking for.
Understood. Fair enough. One last question. So how many customers are we working in currently in the space and semiconductor segment?
So on the space segment, please note there are only two or three companies in the world that deal in space, and we've tied up with both of them. On the semiconductor side, we're working with one large company and a lot of their other subsidiaries in different parts of the world.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Raj Vyas from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. My question is with respect to the return on equity, which are return ratios. So currently at 6.08%, what is our aim for in the next 3 to 5 years? What is the aim or the goal we are looking at to say that this is the sustainable return that we can maintain for the coming years?
So could you repeat the question? I lost you in the middle, please. Could you please repeat that?
With respect to the return ratios, return on equity is 6.08% currently. So what is our aim to for say in the next 3 to 5 years down the line that this should be the sustainable return ratio that we can look at it and it is sustainable going ahead as well?
See, our business as it stands today, we are sustainable. We are showing profits and high growth year on year. I'll let Mr. Jayant answer that question. But like I'm saying, our profitability should be in the range of 17 to 22% moving forward. Our earnings ratio, Jayan, would you like to comment on that, please, from its current 6.0 target in 3 to 5 years?
Yep. ROE, we are between 12 to 15% as of now currently, and we are looking at consistent, steady improvement in the next 2-3 financial years, but without giving any particular guidance as such.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ayush Mittal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone in the team. First of all, heartiest congratulations for such a good performance yet again. It's heartening to see the company having grown to this level. I had asked this question earlier in the calls also, and maybe it's just a repeat. More on the margin side, I think we have been aiming for margins of more than 17-18%. However, yet again in this quarter, despite a lot of growth, the margins are around 13-odd%. What are the factors which have resulted into this kind of margin, and what are the levers which will result into better margins going forward?
See, Ayush, a lot of FAIs are being done. Like I'm saying, we've got a lot of new customers. With these customers, you need to qualify their products. So they go through a phase called FAI, which is first article inspection. So a lot of effort, energy is taken to qualify these products. And once these products are qualified, that's when you start getting revenue and higher profitability. So a lot of FAIs were done this year, which will start giving us higher margins starting in the fourth quarter of this year and moving forward. So that's one of the reasons. And second is scale. Scale is definitely something that is going to improve our margins moving forward. Like I'm saying, our scale and our growth is going to be significant. Just like we've shown scale this year, that's the way it's going to continue moving forward. And we'll see our numbers increase significantly as well. Also, we've had to buy a lot of raw material this year so we can meet our contractual obligations starting 1st April next financial year. So that's the cycle and that's how it's done. But very confident next year our profit margins will be much higher than what it is this year.
Okay. Second observation I have is that our order book has been kind of stable at the 700 odd crore number for quite a long time, despite a material growth in our revenue. So if we see the order book versus the revenue we are currently, I think this ratio has been declining, despite new visibility and order wins, etc. Can you share any specific reason for this? Because it will become harder.
I wouldn't say I wouldn't say it's declining. Even Rossel's order intake has increased significantly. Our POs, the values of contracts that we're winning is much higher. But please note, so our new customers that we've got, which are non-aerospace and defense, those are quick turnaround times. They're not long-term contracts, especially in the space sector and the semiconductor sector. You get an order, you execute it, and then they give you a repeat order and place a new PO on you. So for a lot of these new customers, it's quick turnaround. You get an order, you execute it. So it's not showing up in the value of our order book because they've been executed already. So it depends on the nature of the customer, but I would definitely say our order book has gone up because our billing is going up on a monthly basis. If you can see our revenue on a quarterly basis is going up pretty significantly. If you look at it, it's 130 crores for this quarter, which comes to an average of approximately 43 crores of billing a month. So that does mean Rossel keeps getting orders on a monthly basis, which is executable in that month or the future months. You know, so that's what it is, and very confident we're expecting some really large orders. In fact, we've signed a few really large orders in the last week, which obviously is not reflected in these numbers, but that will show up over time and in the next quarter.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rahil S. from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Just clearing my confusion about the margins. So earlier in quarter one, you know, all the way in the beginning of the year, you had guided 17-18% for the full year. Of course, considering the last three quarters, that number seems a bit far-fetched, right, for this whole year. Any quarter four, you're saying there will be improvement, but any sort of range you expect at EBITDA margin?
It's going to be difficult for me to give you that answer right now. Like I'm saying, we will see an improvement. How much improvement that will be, it'll be difficult for me to give you a forward outlook on that. But very confident that our EBITDA margins will go up in the fourth quarter. Not only on the fourth quarter, I think our margins now will go up significantly quarter on quarter because of the scale that's coming our way and the growth that Rossel has to deliver to. So because of these reasons, our margins will keep getting better. I did mention 17 to 18% at the beginning of the year, but our revenue targets are very different at the beginning of the year, and we've got a lot more business than targeted where we had to make some investments. We had to train people. We had to do a lot of FAIs, like I mentioned earlier, first article inspections. And due to that, it has, you know, reduced a bit for this year. But like I said, all of these, once they go into production, will give us those larger profit margins moving forward, which in turn obviously improves the margins for the company.
Perfect, sir. And how much is Boeing as part of the revenue as of today?
This year, at the end of this financial year, Boeing would be approximately 40%.
Okay, still at 40%. Okay. And this semiconductor would be?
At the end of this financial year. By the end of this financial year. But like I said, our defense and non-defense next year, the ratio is going to be 50-50.
50-50, okay.
Currently targeting towards 75-25 kinds, and we'll be moving towards a 50-50 defense, non-defense, and a larger portion of non-US also, to add to one of the earlier queries too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much. All the rest of you.
One more comment to what Rishabh said. 10 years ago, Boeing was our only primary customer for Rossel. But now, the strategic vision and the direction has been to diversify our customer base. So today we are working with 30-plus customers globally, and that's why the future looks pretty bright for Rossel. It is not based on one industry or one customer. The diversification strategy has worked very well, where we are now, you know, globally present, and we will continue to grow in multiple parts of the world in different industries.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participants in the question queue, we request you to kindly limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue again. We have the next question from the line of Saumil Jain from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions. First, can you spell out the inventory value at the end of this quarter, and if you could split that into raw material, working capital, and finished goods, if any? And secondly, on the material margins, right? You mentioned that quarter on quarter from here on, you should see sequential margin improvement. Can you also talk about at the material margins, what those numbers would look like? Because I see a significant 48-9% decline year-over-year in the last couple of quarters in the material margin level? So if you could spell those two out, please. Thank you.
So Jayant, if you would like to take the first question, please, on our working capital limits, if you could answer that.
Around 290 crores of total inventory with around 257 of raw materials as a subset of it. And margins, Rishabh, you want to explain that?
Yeah, sure. Could you repeat the second part of the question again, please?
Yeah, on material margins, you know, we've seen 8-9% decline year over year in this quarter and even in the last quarter, I think. So, you know, sequentially...
When you say material margin, what do you mean by material margin?
COGS.
I don't understand what you mean by material margin.
COGS. Revenue minus COGS.
Ah, COGS. So you're saying our COGS has gone up. You're saying our COGS has gone up from the previous year.
Yes. And, you know, improvement...
Yeah, so that's primarily because of the business mix. It's primarily because of the business mix and the product mix. So obviously material varies from... what you're building from customer to customer in the domain that you're in. So because of the product mix, if you look at it from, you know, the space side and from the semiconductor side, the material cost is much higher than the defense side. So that's why we're seeing a skew in our COGS. But like I said earlier, our profit margin will always be consistent in the range of 17 to 20.
Yeah, just add that will be well compensated and much more beyond with the increase in volumes and demand and what we are expecting to deliver towards space and semiconductor, including non-US.
Got it. And just one follow-up on the inventory question. Do we expect inventory days to remain at these levels going forward as well?
We have been continuously holding on the revenue decision.
Yeah, no, I can answer that question.
Yes, Anton.
If you look at end of March, we had over 10 months of, you know, inventory carrying we were keeping. September was more around 8. And in December 2025, we've decreased it to 7.5 months. So we continue to reduce our inventory carrying in terms of months. On the inventory carrying, end of March 2025, we were carrying over 10 months of inventory. End of September, we were carrying over 8.5 months of inventory. December 2025, they were carrying over 7.5 months. So you see the steady decline of our inventory carrying, and we will continue to do so as we go into the next quarters. Because as we diversify, some of these businesses, space, semiconductor businesses are quick turn, and we will see the benefit of scale, plus we will see those quick turns. So we will continue to make progress in those areas.
Got it. Thanks for answering the question.
To just add to it, we must be it is noteworthy to we as a business have been carrying 9 to 10 months of inventory on the revenue basis consistently over the last 9 to 10 years as with the expansion in business and diversification, like Senthil rightly said, we're looking at reduction in the current year and also steady reduction in the upcoming 3 to 4 financial years too.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Priyansh Midi from NGP Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. Just a follow-up question on the inventory side of you. As you mentioned, this year we procured a lot of material to meet our order obligation, right? So can you throw some light, is it going to be the same, like, once we... what is the overall process of this procurement goes up on each order cycle? If we sign a larger deal from our aerospace OEMs, do we need to next year stock up a lot to meet those, or how does it all work?
So it totally depends on the customer and the RFP. When you're submitting a bid, you take all of this into account, how much material needs to be bought when. So it completely depends if it's a short-term program or a long-term program. Even in Rossel, we made some changes on how we are procuring. The idea in Rossel is to conserve as much of cash as we can. That's why now on the inventory side, we're working with different distributors around the world where they're going to be stocking the material for us. And we're going to be calling for it on need basis. So instead of Rossel holding the inventory, we have our distributors holding the inventory for us, which will definitely save cash moving forward. So there are some, these are the initiatives we've taken as an organization. We've added different clauses in our contract. We're asking for even upfront payments from our different customers if we need to buy the material upfront. So because of these changes in strategy and how we've changed our mindset on procurement, even if they're long-term contracts, it's not going to be a case where Rossel needs to hold the material for a very long time. Rossel's focus right now is reduction of inventory. The end goal is a 3-turn inventory. That means a 4-month inventory company. And very confident, we've seen some reductions over the last 4 to 5 months in the company, and the idea is to keep reducing the inventory holding days moving forward, and very confident that we will get to the 3-turn inventory, 4-month inventory over the next 18 to 24 months.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amutan Iyer, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Great execution. Congratulations. And very heartening to know the expansion from 1st of April. Two quick questions. One, on the last con call, we expected the 300 crore QIP to be closed by December. What caused the delay and what is the likely timeline now?
So look, QIP process is still underway. We're looking at closing it when everything meets our expectations. Obviously, we're in dialogue with different investors. There is a lot of interest, so but it's just a matter of time. Putting a timeline to it is something I don't want to do, but it completely depends on market sentiments and who we want to partner with and which type of investors Rossel wants to bring on board for the future of the organization. So it's something that we're actively in discussions with a lot of different investors, with our merchant bankers and our partners, Anand Rathi, and it will be done sooner rather than later.
Got it. My second question is, with now good quick turnaround orders from the non-aerospace sector, would it be possible for Rossel to notify exchanges, and also when we convert the large strategic work orders into a purchase order without naming the customer?
So you mean, can Rossel inform SEBI and the different stock exchanges about the orders we receive and the executions?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, yes, sure. That's something we can do for sure. We can look at. I'll have a word with my company secretary and see if we're doing that currently or what needs to change moving forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today, and that concludes the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you. Just to close, I would like to say again that the third quarter has been a really remarkable quarter for the organization. We've been able to diversify our sectoral traction, a strong order visibility, disciplined financial management, and timely capacity expansion. We're entering a truly transformative stage of our journey where significant growth is coming our way, and we're preparing for it. Like I had said earlier, from inception in 2011 till 2025, 14 years, we delivered approximately 1,300 crores worth of revenue and products. Today, we are delivering that same scale within two financial years. That means this year and the following year. So, growth is looking very positive. We are very well positioned. Extraordinary growth has been achieved without any external equity infusion so far. It's been powered entirely by operational excellence and the steadfast support of our banking partners, to whom obviously we express our sincere gratitude. So very excited about the journey, very excited about the first 9 months of the year, and it's just going to go onwards and upwards from here. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.